Zechariah, the 10th chapter, the first verse. I'm going to read just a little bit. It says here in the first verse, the 10th chapter of the book of Zechariah, "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain." The other night I asked for some rain, and it started raining. It rained for about 2 days. So dry. But now this is a different kind of rain. It says, "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle. Out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, out of him every oppressor together. And they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the street in the battle. And they shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. And I will bring them again to place them, for have mercy upon them. And they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries. And they shall live with their children and turn again. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt and gather them out of Assyria. And I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon. And place shall not be found for them. And he shall pass through the sea with affliction and shall smite the waves in the sea. And all the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. Open thine doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of the vintage is come down. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled, a voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter, whose possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty. And they that sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. But lo, I will deliver the men every one into his neighbor's hand and into the hand of his king, and they shall smite the land, and out of their hand I will not deliver them." He tells us here in the word of the Lord that in the latter times that God will send us rain if we pray. I wonder how many of you feel like we're living in the latter times. Do you feel like we're living in the latter times? In the latter times, he said, if you'll pray, he said, I'll give you rain. He says here that his wrath is kindled so against the shepherds that he'll pour out his indignation upon the shepherds. Think about that now, the preachers, that he's all upset with the preachers. Talking about the latter times, I'll give you rain in the latter times. All upset with the preachers now, and he calls them idols that have spoken vanity. And he goes on to speak of false dreams and diviners. Dreams that doth not build up but tear down. And that make way for the self-desire of those that tell them. He also said that he is angry with the goats. The goats, now we're sheep. How do you know that we're sheep? If we're sheep, that means that the world is goats. Those people are goats. That's why they're always pushing at the church. Always pushing, continually pushing. They never stop attacking the church. All the time, like an old goat, always with his head. Did you know that? It takes an intellectual goat to always intellectually pounce on somebody. Isn't that right? Leaning to their own understanding, they're always saying something from their intellectual head that reflects the church or hurts the church. And that's an old goat using his head to come against us. He goes on to say that he will spoil the pride of Jordan. And Jordan has to do with the river of death. Isn't that right? It has a great pride in the powers of death, how that it can overtake us. To be carnally minded is death. And the carnal mind has a great pride. But someday God said, I will spoil the pride of the carnal mind. Their confidence, their education, confiding in the powers of riches, and all of these things, he said, someday I will spoil the pride of Jordan. And he goes on down, he tells us here how that his wrath will be against all that fail to feed his flock and that fail to hold up the house of God. But on the other hand, he tells us, he says, now if you and I will go on with God, and if you and I will do the things of the Lord, that he will make us to be overcomers, and that he will put us in the house of our God as pillars. Is that right? In other words, I will make you a pillar in the house of your God. If you'll go on with me and be concerned about the kingdom of God, I will make you to be a great pillar in the house of the living God. Now, God has a house, isn't that right? In this world, there is the tabernacle of God. Now, the world isn't the tabernacle of God, but in this world, there is a tabernacle of God. John said, I looked, and behold, I saw the tabernacle of God among men. I saw the tabernacle of God come down out of heaven, and I saw this tabernacle come down in the midst of mankind. I saw it as it settled down in the midst of mankind. I saw this great tabernacle. Now, I don't know what that does to you, but it does something to me. When I think about the tabernacle of the living God being here in the earth, I think about the tabernacle of the living God being here present to where I can see it. And I think, my God, to think that God himself has come down to my habitation and built himself a house so that he could be my neighbor. I think how wonderful that is to think that I can be a neighbor to God and like Abraham of old, be a friend to God. That he has come down in this very present world where I'm living, and here we are walking along together and singing together and rejoicing. And when everything gets dry and I feel dry, Jim, and I can't get in touch with heaven, I say, oh Lord, you said pray. And when you said pray that in the latter days and the latter times you would give rain, that you would make bright clouds, hallelujah. God will make bright clouds in the time of the latter rain. Pray. And we can have the latter rain. And I believe, my heart, that we're living in the time of the latter rain. How do you believe we're living in the time of the latter rain? I believe that we're living in the time of the latter rain. And I'm praying, I'm saying, Lord, give me some bright clouds at Little Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Shout, cloud up and rain all over you. Give me some bright clouds, Jesus. Stir us up. And don't let those old dark, stormy, gloomy clouds coming over Bethlehem. Don't let them sweeping over Bethlehem. But God, give me those bright, radiant faith clouds over little Bethlehem so that we can come together one to another and become a big, big cloud. You know, it starts with a little cloud like a new man's hand. It starts with that little cloud, Brother Gary. You remember what you said in there around the video last night when you said, Brother Pike, When that hand come out like that, Gary said, a cloud like a new man's hand. Yeah. See, it come out of that cloud. Those praying hands like that come out of that cloud like that. And Gary said, it's a cloud like a new man's hand. Seek, pray in the time of the latter rain, and I will give you a refreshing. I will give you bright clouds. I will bring forth the ministry. I'll bring forth something that will water your crops until the fruits of the Spirit just break out. And everywhere there will be fruits of the Spirit. There will be gifts of the Spirit. There will be the power and demonstration of God. All of the great things of God will come forth. And you will be able to do great exploits for Christ. Hallelujah. Don't you want to do great exploits for Christ? I want to do something great for Christ. You say, what is great for Christ? Give him your life. That's the greatest thing I know you can do for Christ. I want to do something great for Christ. What is it? I want to give him my life. I want to give him my life. I want to do something that will be held to remembrance in God's mind as long as the eternities roll. And what can I do? Give him my life. If I give God my life, he'll remember it throughout the eternities. Hallelujah. So then, we say, Lord, send us some bright clouds. We look up and here we say, where is God? Where is God? I want to get in touch with God. And somebody said, Brother Pike, he's your next door neighbor. He lives right next door to you. How do you understand what I'm saying? I say, where is God? And there he is, living next door to me. There he is. I see him. I see his tabernacle. I see God as you walk and as you talk, as you manifest the fruits of the Spirit, as you testify. I say, well, that's not him speaking. That's the Heavenly Father. I hear God's voice in that man. I hear it sounds like birds singing to me. Isn't that right? I hear the voice. You know, a man will walk through the earth, and that man will be talking to some other man, and they're just talking, and the little birds in the trees just chirping, and everything just feels so alive. The wind blowing, you know, and the little brooks rippling along, but the wind just blowing through the trees. You hear the sound, you just feel so alive and feel filled up with God. You know, and while you're doing this, you know, your mind begins to transformate, and you begin to revelate. And all of a sudden you say, wait a minute, this is the way it is with God. See, God's in my heart, God's speaking. And the angels like little birds just chirping everywhere, saying, hear ye him, hear ye him, hear ye him. Let the church hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. Brothers and sisters, we need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church this morning. I tell you, it is so rich and it is so wonderful that my cup is running over. The deep calling unto the deep at the water spout of God. And we're the deep wells of God. We're the water spout of God. We've been drilled down to the rock where there's water. And there's a deepness of God on the inside of our heart. That water's flowing out of your innermost being flows the rivers of living water. And I've said this so many times. My roots are planted by the river of water, and my fruits must produce, or my tree must produce fruits of life. It must be fruits of life. I'm not a tree of death. I'm not planted in the barren places, but my roots go deep into the ground where the river of life is. The Bible said, and these trees was planted along the river of life. Hallelujah. How could they bring anything but the fruits of life planted along the river of life? When John saw that city, he said, and these trees were planted along the river of life, and the roots were weighed down, like that man said the other night about the Lebanon trees, weighed down to where the wind can't get them. And there they're drinking from that stream that never runs dry. The water's coming out, coming up into their little tender branches and their little leaves for the healing of the nation. Little leaves coming out for the healing of the nation. And their fruits is what keeps them alive. Healed. God said, go over there. Isaiah, he said, go over there. He said, take them fig leaves back over there. All Hezekiah needed was a few leaves for the healing. Isn't that right? That's all he needed. Just needed a few leaves from the man of God. From the tree of God that done the job. But see, then comes the fruits. Beautiful fruits coming out. These great big fruits coming out. Great, big, lovely, luscious fruits of life coming from the trees of life. And this is what keeps the people alive. How do you understand what I'm saying? How do you get that? He said, in the latter time, I'll send some rain. And the rain will be the water that will water the river of life. I'll fill your wells up. I'll fill your wells up till your cup runs over. We can be so full of the waters of God until our cup will run over. All right, so he say, Lord, the tabernacle of God is down here in the earth with mankind. The tabernacle of earth. See, like Brother Eddie and the wife coming up here, what does that have to do with? See, the new earth coming in. The new earth coming in. Is that right? The new earth coming in. We bought this new earth symphony from Brother Eddie. And see, it has to do with the new earth. We spoke of it when the tent went down to Moultrie. We spoke of what it had to do with. The tent going down there had to do with a special thing concerning the kingdom of God. And when we got there, we wound up with this new earth symphony. Is that right? That is the new earth voice or the speakers. We wound up with it. Now, here we are today. Last night, something was taking place. Like Gary, he went over here and picked up a few letters over at the Williams Brothers are back up there somewhere. And he and I was talking, and Brother Gary said, what are you going to do with those things? I said, well, you know, we come back from Central America. When we come back, you know, you remember the vision down in Central America, down in Honduras? When we come back, something was supposed to take place. And I said, now, Gary, here it is. It's like that revelation on there. We was watching that revelation there. It just worked out like this. I don't know how it did it except God did it. But Floyd had the video. Brother James Isaac, remember Isaac being the promised son now. Here come Brother James Isaac in, and he picked up that little red paper that they use on the mailing out of the tapes in Bill's office. And he held it up over here, the revelation of Jesus Christ. James Isaac. And here the praying hands was in a big burst, a sunburst. But when they throwed it on the video, it come out just exactly like the cloud that dropped over the mountain out in Arizona. Exactly like it. You can see it yourself. They recorded it, and it's just exactly like it. They walked over there to pick up that little transparent thing and held it up. Bill and Brother Antley, it was, held it up in front of the camera. And that, you know, how do you know the sun's a ball of fire? And right on this thing, like a mirror, in come the pillar of fire. Right in, it just dance about just like that. Now, you say, what has that got to do with it, Brother Pike? Remember, Brother Branham left those people in the Arizona desert. Typically, they were left there to die. See, they were left in the Arizona desert, the followers. Not the truth followers, because Brother Branham, having to do with the closing out of the church ages, there in Arizona, he went up on the top of Sunset Mountain. Have you got time to listen a minute? He went up on the top of Sunset Mountain. See, in the western part of the world, the sun sets in the west. It was going down in the west. And there he went up on the top of Sunset Mountain. Now, we got up there, and he looked up, you know, on one of those mountains out there. And way up in the heavens, he saw this great cloud with the profile of Christ in it. He saw this great thing up there, and there was Jesus standing in the middle of it. High and out of reach of the earth. You follow me? Too high for science to record with their old intellectual minds. It's real because I read it in the yearbook. They've got it recorded in the yearbook. You can see the picture of it. Science don't understand it. All right. Now, there it was, way up in the heavens. What was it? It was the closing out of the ministry of the great William Branham. Is that right? Now, you say, how do you know that that's what it was? Because Brother Branham heard the blast. And I made a statement, it had to do with that wreck, that crash. Now, not only that, but Joseph was spared through the blast. Now, he had just gotten in the car with Billy Paul, which was the carryover of it. Is that right? Billy's name being the same of Brother Branham's. Now, being in the West, it was the closeout. For Brother Branham looked, and here come those angels. First the birds and then the angels. Now, don't that prove what I said about the shepherd of the birds representing the angels? Here they come and then the angels. And then what took place? The Bible said, see that, or the book stated, Brother Branham wrote about it, stated that when this happened, that he was picked up and turned eastward. Is that right? In other words, that meant to me that the Western perspective of the move of God had ended. It had ended. Now then, everything was to the east. Now, naturally speaking,
to me, that means that the Western world, the government of the Western world, America, the woman, the foot on the moon, it means to me that her day is finished. Her day is finished. You follow me? Her day is finished. Her government is gone. Brother Branham was a prophet. Likened unto the eagles. He always preached about the eagles. America is the eagle nation. He was numbered with not the spiritual, which has to do with the dove and the millennium, the new earth that we're speaking of here. Not that. He wasn't numbered with that. He wasn't numbered with the kingdom of Solomon. But he was numbered with the kingdom of David, which was a war, a continual war. Isn't that right? Now, in seeing the thing turn back to the Jew, it means that you and I are coming into focus. Because whether you believe it or not, when Brother Branham pointed eastward, he was pointing to the coming of the sons of God, which is in this message of the latter rain that's to come forth now. He called it a third pull. Now, in this, we have watched step by step, every step being exactly the way that God wanted it, even to the Honduras vision down yonder in Central America. We was way up in the clouds. See, the coming of the Lord in the clouds. Way up in the clouds of Honduras. That is, up into the mountains back down there. Now, in this video, going out to the world, the vision, video, going to the world, it's time for it. I said, Brother Gary, the reason you got those letters was because when a child is born, you have to name it. We haven't put any names up on these buildings before, have we? Haven't put any up. Why? Because first, the child must come to formation and then come to the birth. And when it comes to the birth, you give it a name. And right now, we're at that point where the child is being born into the world. The great, many-membered man-child of the living God. Not churchism. Not just another church. The church is gone in the wilderness. When Brother Charles Elliott moved from up here, I tried to explain to the brethren before he left that he would leave and he would go to Brother Red. I said, because Brother Red has to do with the woman in the wilderness. And I said, Brother Charles Elliott, in his lifetime, he has belonged to the church of God of the elders. And the elders have to die in the wilderness. Of course, people mock you. You know, they mock you. It don't matter what you do or say, they mock you. But it will come to pass exactly like God said it would come to pass. Now, in the moving of it, it has to do with the woman in the wilderness. Like the birth of Scotty's child here, the little one, Christopher, is it, Scotty, has to do with the coming of Christ, with the birth of the man child. Why Scotty? Because he's from Arizona. In Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, right there where Brother Branham was. Brother Branham stayed over in Phoenix when he was out there ministering. So then it has to do with that. Why Scotty and Brother Red's daughter? Because Brother Red's daughter has to do with the woman in the wilderness. To relate back to the woman in the wilderness. Are you following what I'm saying? Ask of me in the time of the latter rain. I'll give you bright clouds, Jesus said. Hallelujah. What we need to do is become illuminated and be a bright cloud for God so that we can water the dry, parched fields of the church world out there. All right, so then the church has done a good job, I think. I know that they've not done maybe the way they ought to do, but tell me what mother has done the way that she ought to do. See, the Trinitarian church world is the mother. It is the veil. It is the carrier. But the real, true, Jesus name people, not denominationalism, but the real, true, Jesus name people, the sons of revelation, as you have across your belt, the sons of the revelation that bear the name Jesus, not going around just always talking about baptism in Jesus' name, But they are the Christ, which is important. The water in the baptism or the child that comes forth when the water breaks. What are we interested in? You understand what I'm saying? We major on minors. What we need to do is get to the major thing. Isn't that right? That's the image. That's the body. That's the tabernacle of God. John said, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. The tabernacle of God. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle. The tabernacle of God. Look at Calvary. Did you know that every living human being in the world today that is not born again of the Holy Spirit, do you know that they have never got on this side of Calvary? Did you know that? Here's Calvary. They've never got on this side of Calvary. They are still under the law. Everyone that's fallen from grace is under the law. So then, they have never come over to this side of Calvary. Because if they ever come over to the side of Calvary, the old world has passed away, and behold, all things have come new. And they're in a new world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then, they've never made the crossing. You say, but Brother Pike, don't you know that these people are born on the side of Calvary? Oh, but listen to me. They are of their father, Adam, which is on the other side of Calvary. They live in their father's spirit. They live in their father's mind. Just being born on this side of Calvary don't mean you crossed over Calvary. But being born of God, of the quickening spirit of Christ, that's the first fruits of them that come up on this side of Calvary. Oh, hallelujah. Don't that make you feel good? See, on this side of Calvary, on the side of Calvary, have you been born again? Have you crossed over Jordan? Where's Jordan? Calvary. Where's Calvary? The carnal mind that got into Adam and Eve in the garden over there. That was death. I will spoil the pride of Jordan, he said. Getting on this side of Calvary. Here we are on this side of Calvary. What does that mean? It means I never have to die. I don't have to get sick. I don't have to live in poverty. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be in bondage of fear. Why? Hallelujah. The song said, I'm in a new world, says the Lord, save me. I'm in a new world. I've crossed over the Jordan. I've crossed over Calvary. He was delivered from my offenses. I offended against my master in my father Adam. He was delivered to the cross to pay for it. But he was raised again for my justification when he pushed the earth open and the bowels of the earth gave forth. First there came the waters of Noah's flood as the old mother earth was ready to be delivered. She groaned and travailed and the waters of Noah came forth. And then came the blood issue of Calvary. And then came the Son of God, which means to you and I, as the scripture has said, that God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, made under the law, in the fullness of time. And where was that? Peter said Calvary was the fullness of time. That was the fullness of time. Calvary was. Why? Because the headship of the many-membered body, Jesus Christ, didn't it show forth at Calvary? Did it? Did it show forth at Calvary? That Calvary came the headship. But not only the headship, he sent forth his Son. Who is his Son? I'm his Son. Are you his Son this morning? He sent forth his Son in the fullness. He spoke to people in times gone by by the prophets. But glory to God, he doesn't speak by the prophets anymore. It's not a prophet. There was none greater than John. He was a prophet. But it's not a prophet speaking. It's God speaking. It's God himself. Behold, the tabernacle of God's among men. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The law and the prophets till John. Then thy kingdom come. And men have been translated into the kingdom, for God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of God. And men have pressed away in. And what did he say? Preach. Don't go preach the Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecostal, the UPC. Don't go preach the non-denominational. But preach the kingdom of God is at hand. Hallelujah. And the Bible teaches that men press their way into it. The kingdom of God is here. Where is the kingdom of God? Some fellow came to Jesus and he began to say some things. And Jesus looked back at him and said, "You hypocrite." Said, "Why tempt thou me?" And here come another man up to him and he said something to him. Jesus said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom." See, his thinking, his believing, his confidence in Christ, the way that he ordered his speech, Jesus said, "Son, you're getting close." See, by faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, Enoch was translated. So then, we're getting close. My God, what does that mean? The power of faith can translate me into the oneness of the eternal fountain of existence. The great eternal spirit, the self-existing one. I can be one with him. He is a spirit, but my spirit can be one as the great eternal fountain of life by faith in the finished blood atonement of his son Jesus. I said, "Lord, I'm going to do everything I can to live right. I'm going to be just as holy as I know how to be, because you said be holy in body and in spirit, Lord. I'm going to be holy." But I said, "Father, when I've done all that I can do, I said, when I come to the judgment, I'm counting on the blood. I said, I'm counting on the blood to take me in. No matter what I do, Jesus, I said, I'm not going to lean on any of that. I'll be counting on your spilt blood at Calvary when I get there. I'm looking for you to take me in by the spilt blood of Calvary. Now, I see this thing shaping up. Look at the Eddies that's been involved. Brother Eddie from down in Moultrie. Brother Eddie from over in Edmonton, Canada. Brother Eddie from the Carolinas. All the Brother Eddies that's been involved here as of late. Look at Brother Eddie coming down from Edmonton, Canada. Right up there where the silver tip bear was shot by Brother Bradham. When they said it wasn't a silver tip in those woods. Yet by faith, he said he saw one. And I don't know whether God manufactured it before he got there or what he done. He could have created the thing before he got there. I don't know. The God said there wasn't one in them woods like that. But nevertheless, Brother Branham said, "Well, I saw it through the eyes of faith, so I'm gonna have a silver tip bear." And there it was. I don't know how it got there. But Brother Eddie, right in the same area, having been sentenced to life in Siberia, meant he was a dead man. But what happened? Just like the man from Korea showing Brother Branham again the loss of his wife and children, like Brother Branham. So then, here comes this man, Brother Eddie, preaching over the radio. And the very day that Jimmy put that over the radio, remember what happened, Jimmy? I spoke about it. The very day. And believe it or not, when Floyd went to do the video, it worked out the same way that it did in the audio room. The same things happened. And I spoke of it again to Floyd. See, Brother Eddie coming down, they had rejected Brother Eddie. Isn't that right? They had rejected him up there. Brother Taylor and Brother Ned and different ones up there. Eddie said they rejected him. And he said the reason the people rejected him was because they found out he had TB. You understand what I'm saying? But his name was Eddie Clear. But we didn't reject him. We didn't reject him. He came here, he ministered for us. He received this revelation. Received it greatly and praised it and praised the brotherhood. Wrote a beautiful letter back about it. Eddie went right on out to Louisiana. And there he closed out 7 meetings. You follow me? Brother Branham coming down, the big woods, the death, Siberia. They rejected him. You understand what I'm saying? Life, Siberia, come, they rejected him. So he came on over. Like a German, the old country. But we're talking about a new earth. He came over. Brother Eddie came over. We received the man. Had his program on the radio for 2 or 3 days now. It's wonderful. You ought to hear it. Now, Eddie came down, accepted it. closed out seven of his meetings to signify the closing out of the church ages, and of all places to do it, did it in Louisiana, the same place where the tent was. Louisiana, same place where Brother Branham preached his last message there. Louisiana, you follow me? Closed out. Closed it out, and then said, I'm going to the east because my meetings are lined up in the east. You understand what I'm saying? The Western world closing out. Going to the east. But you know what he did? He went to a three-day meeting out in Tucson, Arizona. He wrote me and said, Brother Pike, I wish you could be out there. Brother Frank Ewald Frank from over in Germany was coming over. The brethren was going to meet. See, that was just exactly perfect with the birth of Scotty's baby. From Arizona, Brother Eddie out there, the revelation in Eddie's heart, a little baby. How do you understand what I'm saying? There he goes out there, the resurrection of Brother Branham. Going out there, the revelation in his heart, a little baby, Scotty's baby being born right there. The three-day death, burial, resurrection, a three-day meeting right in Tucson, Arizona, among the ministers. Now you can believe Eddie's going to say his piece. Yes, sir. He's going to say his piece. I don't care if they got 50 ministers out there. When he gets ready to say his piece, he's going to say his piece because he said it around here. Now he said, Brother Pike, I'm this kind of man. He said, what I got to say, I'm going to say it while I'm here because when I leave, I ain't got nothing to say about you then. And that's the way I like it. That's the way it ought to be. So he's going to say his piece. But see, resurrected out there. Isn't that right? Turning toward Alaska. You remember I said caught up to the throne, the great white throne, Alaska, where no germs can live because of the cold. Pure. Caught up to Alaska. The bright sunshine, 90 degrees in Alaska. Going right past a place called White Horse. Said, ride the trail again. Revelation 19, the White Horse. He said, you know what, Brother Pike? He said, it's a strange thing. But said the Brother Branham followers ain't never been able to establish nothing in White Horse, but said, I believe we could. They've tried and tried again, he said, but they couldn't do it. Now, in this, in seeing the revelation, look at it. There, the birth of the child, when Eddie, the child comes forth, spiritually speaking, where is Eddie's heart going to be? He wrote back to little Bethlehem in the east, resurrected out there, but Eddie over here numbered with this. In the east, said I'm moving eastward, closing out, moving eastward. Then here all of a sudden, the revelation now, remember the vision, the third pull, the latter rain, the vision, revelation going on video. That means that you can see it. See the child being born, you can see it. See it, we've heard about it, but we can see it. That's what it represents. And Brother Gary, going up there to get those letters. See, naming the child. Brother David Allen said that he'd send me those, you know, those moving letters he's got. It has to do with something. Because it's supposed to go on the front of the church out here. We've never had it before. But I'll try to explain something about it. Now, can I take just a few more minutes? If I can take a few more minutes, I'll try to close. Pray, and in the time of the latter rain, I'll make some bright clouds. That's what I want to be, is a bright cloud. I want to be a bright cloud. Now, I don't want to throw a storm over people. I want the sweetness of the latter rain. I want to see their fields grow. I want to see it bubble with the enthusiasm of God. Now, we went down into Central America. I think I've related just a little bit of this, but I've not brought anything on it really since I've come back to the people. But I went down in Central America. Now, why did I go down there? It was because I told the brethren that the angel of the Lord would meet me in the way, and he did. And in the vision he gave me, he told me exactly what I understood that he was to tell me in Honduras. Crossing over Houston. Where the stones are. The moonstones having to do with the crossing of the Jordan. Crossing over Houston. Ken Lowry. Going down to the Mexican border of Brownsville, which is really the crossing of the Jordan in the time. Those people weighed down in Mexico when you get down there a little ways, they are considered by the world as people who are dead. I've heard that terms used. Because they don't have any way of raising food. They don't have any way really of building houses, little old mesquite trees. Maybe some clay and some rock. Not much water to put it together with. They don't have any money, any income. And they're considered dead. They don't have any windows in their houses in some places. Just a hole in the wall. Some of them sleep right down on the ground. See, it's typical of death. When I left here, it was supposed to be a cross experience. People were supposed to rise up against me and say things, all kind of things, until it was to be a crucifixional thing. In that you do it to the least of these, you do it to Christ. Then going down into Mexico, taking the faith track, dying in the faith. Going down, I said, Betty, we might as well get ready for a rough trip. Because this shows me and you going through it. And we did. Got down into Mexico, that's the death. See, that's the grave. Those people are in a grave. They're dead. Laying there, so to speak. Get down a little farther. When you go down a little farther, you come into a paradise. In Honduras, San Pedro Sula, an old Spanish main, it's beautiful. Caught between the Atlantic and the Gulf. When you get down there, crossing over the dangerous mountains of Guatemala, you get down there, and there is the Panama Canal running across Central America. That's what we're having the fuss about over in the White House right now. See, we're at the crossing of the Gulf. We're at the crossing of the Gulf. That's what the impeachment talk is about. Of putting Jimmy out of office. It's going to go a little bit different from what they think. But down at the Panama Canal, see the Atlantic in the Gulf, coming way around from the other side. You know where you get to a place to where the Caribbean and the Atlantic Gulf, all of them begins to pour in together. But in this particular place, the Panama Canal has to do with the Gulf. On the other side of the Panama Canal is South America. You know, hell had two parts to it.
That's right.
Jesus went down to the heart of the earth to preach to the souls in prison. Suffered not his soul to remain in hell. That was the paradise of God. Daniel, you'll rest in your lot. When Jesus rose from the dead, he brought those people that was confined to the prison out with him, which was the first resurrection. But nobody saw the saints other than just saw them come up from the earth. They went on to their proper places of abode, which was in paradise, moved from the earth, heart of the earth, into heaven. They went on. So though it was the first resurrection, yet it is not accounted for until Revelation 19. Because God only accounts for that which man sees. So in Revelation 19, Jesus Christ, the first fruits of them that slept, the first resurrection comes back with the saints. And the Bible says this is the first resurrection when he comes back. But you and I know that he is the first resurrection. And whether the world ever sees him or not, we already have him. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the lake of fire, the second death, hath no power. We already have this. We pass from death unto life. We've already received that first resurrection that's coming back to them in Revelation 19. He'll come back to the natural world. They'll see him with their natural eye. But he's already come back to me, and he's living on the inside of me. I'm alive. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, if a spirit be in you that raised up Christ from the dead, he shall by the same Spirit also quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. By the Spirit of Christ which dwelleth in you. If you have not that Spirit, you're none of his. So then, South America. What did we have from South America? We had a tennis champ. You follow me? We had a champion out of Bolivia. a tennis champ, 3 years. The tennis champ of the entire country of Bolivia. He just loves Little Bethlehem and the people of Little Bethlehem. As a matter of fact, I think he loves something else at Little Bethlehem. That's my daughter. But anyway, he wants to come up here, and I think that's part of it. But he really is a good boy. He really is. He loves Jesus. But see, we've got a champion. How do you know we've got a champion? He went down into the heart of the earth. And Bolivia is right in there around all of those different places around there. How do you know Christ went down the heart of the earth? The same one that descended to the depths and the bowels of the earth ascended to the highest place in heaven. Sits on the right hand of God as an intercessor and a mediator between God and between man. But see, a Bolivian champ, and I finally convinced him that being a Christian was the greatest championship or scholarship he'd ever owned. He won a scholarship from being, you know, the champion, an American scholarship. But here's what I'm saying. See, Bolivia is South America. That's hell. That's the hot place. That's on the other side of the Panama Canal. The division between hell and paradise, the two parts. You understand what I'm saying? We had it there. And then God speaking to us in Honduras, Santa Rosa, going on from there to San Pedro Sula, Pedro being Peter, upon this rock, the keys. Jesus said, I went down the heart of the earth to come up. Here they are. You follow me? San Pedro Sula, coming up. He had the keys. See, he had the keys. Peter, I give unto you the keys. Brother Branham, dying. You know how we went through it? The three parts, Carolina, then the desert, then California, body, soul, and spirit. Brother Branham, projecting Christ Jesus, divided into the three parts, his wife and so forth. How do you understand what I'm saying? Let me say it right quick. His message, his heart went into the Carolinas. That is, his message did. His spirit. His body went into California in the rich man's tombs, which was the full gospel businessman, the only thing he ever joined. And then his heart, his soul, his wife, his children, went into hell in the Arizona desert. You understand what I'm saying? Until the time of the reunion, because it was Calvary trying to come across the Jordan, having to do with the Mississippi. See, dissected at Calvary, brought back together in the preaching of the gospel, because he was numbered with the Trinity. And that's what the Trinity is. It's a dissecting unto death. For to be Trinity is to be death. But to be Jesus' name, them that are called by my name, are to be living oracles of God. Now, so then, the Trinity Church woman went into the wilderness. Brother Branham, is that right? We come back from Honduras. You remember the vision that spoke of Brother Branham? Coming back with the keys, coming up, the third pull, the third move. Everything just like Brother Branham said, the three race cars. Coming back up here from San Pedro Sula, coming over the stones, Houston, coming on over. And Brother James remembers this, and I don't say this to reflect nobody, but I don't think James would mind me saying it. Brother James, Isaac has to do with the son, a promise. I had him up here the other night, and some things was taking place when Brother Harold and him was up here from Hawaii and so forth. But him and Brother Marlowe went on a trip. I don't say this to reproach nobody, Brother James nor Brother Marlowe. But they went on a trip. Brother James agreed to it. And it was going down to Houston. You know what happened? You know, you rub stones together and you get sparks. Wasn't long before they'd kindled a little fire on their way down. And finally, they got down to the place where Sister Betty and I went not so long ago, down the highest place, Crestview in Florida. You remember where it's at? I spoke of what it had to do with. I got it on tape somewhere. Had to do with the Mount of Olives, the cleaving and so forth. There at Crestview, was down there at the meeting. By the way, some of you perhaps don't know it, but Brother Surratt, the man that said he wanted to hear me preach so bad, he died. He went back and he died over in Memphis. He got on to me because I wouldn't stay and preach. Said he wanted to hear me preach so bad. But anyway, Brother James and got down there and he got a few sparks. And Brother Marlowe, you know, he tends to lean toward the side where the women preaches and different things. And James, he won't go that way. So then they begin to rub sparks, you know, sparks. But anyway, James got so upset. James, you just have to forgive me. But anyway, he got so upset, he said, I ain't going to your father. So I'm going back home. And Brother Marlowe had quite a bit of money because he just got some kind of big check or something. A few hundred dollars. And finally, Brother Marlowe repented. He said, James said, I'll pay the way if you just go on with me. James said, I ain't going. And he said, James said, when I get up in the morning, I'm leaving. Brother Marlowe said, you wouldn't do that. He said, you just wait and see if I don't do it. He said, if you're ready or not, I'm gone. So, Brother Marlowe, he repented. But see, here's the beautiful thing about it. They were headed down to Houston. Brother James refused to go when they got to Crestview. They're cleaving in half now, if you understand what I'm saying. Brother Marlowe having to do with Brother Branham, the western part. You understand what I'm saying? Brother James having to do with a little Bethlehem, the eastern part. When they got down there, they were divided asunder. How many remember Elijah and Elisha? The fire come down and they were divided asunder. But anyway, they were divided asunder. And Brother Marlowe got on a bus, Cleveland. You understand what I'm saying? Going down to Houston. Just outside of Houston, Texas. See, it had to do with something because we were coming back from down in South America just prior to this, or Central America. Coming back, the promised son, the dividing. Everybody's life represents something for Christ. Now, a lot of times I speak of your life just like I'm speaking of James's life. I spoke of it so many times. Brother Eddie's life and what he has to do. Every man has a place in God. Every man. I spoke of Brother Michael's place numbers of time. How that he's always warring with different people. How he run into Brother Ned and him down yonder. What it had to do with about Michael and, you know, Gabriel is a messenger, but Michael is a warrior. You know, so they beat my brains out. It's Michael's word. The devil's trying to beat his brains out. But anyway, I speak of you folks a lot of times. There's numbers of you I don't speak of. But you still have a beautiful place as the body of the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to have to close you in a few minutes. I'm just barely getting started on this, but I'm going to close because we take a long time. But let me say just a few things, and we'll try not to get into another stream because it's late. Now, how do you understand what I'm saying? All right, so then this video that we have in here, the cloud coming in when they took these hands, the praying hands, and put them up. Remember now, we symbolized little Bethlehem with the praying hands out of the gateway and put Brother Atlee Beach's name right under it. How do you know that? To the Honorable Atlee Beachin family. It's a memorial out there under God in his life. God in a tabernacle. God in a man. His efforts. Ingenuity. Here, when the cloud came on, the way that our program comes on TV, it's nothing but a cloud. A myth. And then, all of a sudden, first of all, it comes on the revelation of Jesus Christ with the writing. Then the music. And then, it flashes over, and there's nothing but a cloud off in the distance. See? Arizona. Then all of a sudden, it comes, and then it's little Bethlehem, the praying hands. It comes right in, just like that. And then Brother Paul Stone does his announcing. And then after that, they just go back out like that. And then when they go out like that, then see Christ Jesus coming in the clouds of heaven. The revelation of Jesus Christ, when the cloud goes out, comes the message. Not you that speak, but the Father that speak, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Little Bethlehem, the people, is that right? Now, in the time of the latter rain, we need a cloud. Isn't that right? What kind of cloud? The kind that's like unto a man's hand. That's the kind we need. Coming up out of the dry places. We need to pray. We need to believe. And I'm going to stop right here. If we're going to do something for God, we're going to have to hurry. Really hurry. There's a lot of things that we could say this morning, but I'm going to stop right here. And I want you to stand with me.
I appreciate your kind attention. There's just so many wonderful things that this has to do with. It's hard to bring them out because it takes so long. It just takes so long to get just a little bit of it. It's no wonder that God took 3 years indoctrinating Paul. It took a while. But there, Jesus said, pray, speaking through the mouth of the preacher, that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. The spirit of revelation. The meeting that Brother Wilson is concerned with out in Oklahoma among the Indians have to do with this. You know, if you're just a little bit, all you can share is a little bit. And I'm just a little bit. But I've tried to share a little bit with you so that you could understand the times and the seasons. Maybe we'll preach some night on the times and the seasons. Paul spoke of it. God is setting his own power, the times and the seasons. But it is a true fact that we're moving into the times and the seasons. Is that right? They say, why seasons? Because he is the first fruits of the barley harvest. The season. All right? Shall bring forth its fruit in its season. The times and the seasons. At sundry times, divers manners. But has in the last days his son Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Now remember, God is going to bless us. Satan is going to mock us. But be wise. Be wise as serpents, harmless as dove. Be as gentle as a lamb and as bold as a lion. Do that. Don't let the devil mislead you. Don't let him shake you. It's like somebody said the other day. They asked the question, said, I want to ask a question. Somebody out on the job back out there said, is it true what they're saying about little Bethlehem? What is that? Said, they were singing some kind of song. What was it? Oh, to be like Brother Pike. Said, you know, said they said they don't sing to be like Jesus no more. They sing to be like Brother Pike. That's not true. That's not true. Now, Brother Taylor might sing to be like Elijah, to be like Brother Pike or something here. But at Bethlehem, that's not our theme. Our theme is to be like Jesus. There's but one Jesus, that's him. But now, to stop the mouth of the gainsayer, when we sing to be like Jesus, Paul said, it's not I that liveth, but Jesus. So they could strain at a net and swallow a camel. Say, but Brother Pike, are we going to praise man? Paul said, in a good thing, I praise you. I believe you folks are doing some good things. I want to praise you this morning. God bless you. I praise you in it. A good thing. Praise be unto you. Hallelujah, for doing the good things of God. I said, praise be unto you for doing the good things of God. Somebody like to froze up on me then. Somebody said, well, I ain't gonna receive no praise. You better not. Don't belong to you. It belongs to Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus now. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You ain't done no good thing to be praised. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? We could sing that little chorus to be like Jesus. I think that's a good little chorus. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like him. Can you sing with me? All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like him. Bethlehem's manger, come forth the stranger. On earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like him. Now, would you think it coincidental to dedicate this baby this morning? Is his name Christopher, brother? Eric Christopher. That sounds like one they call Leith the Lucky that discovered the new world, don't it? Eric. Leith Erickson. Christopher? That sounds like a combination package, Brother James. Brother Eddie up here in this new earth. Let's talk about this new earth. And about the resurrection and a child being born. And them wanting their baby. An Arizona daddy wanting their baby dedicated to God. Isn't that magnificent? Praise God. If you'll come on up here, brother. James, can you get a picture here as we dedicate, brother? Can you get a picture of the baby? Yeah. I tell you what, I have to be so careful. These are fragile. This is really something now. No kidding about it. It's really something. Wait just a minute, James. Now, just 3 days old. Just a little bitty thing. But when I go to hold these, there's always that way, even about my own. It's always so careful. It's so tender. You know, that's the way we ought to be. Brother Jared, that's the way we ought to be. When these little darling babies of God are born into the kingdom here at Bethlehem and wherever, we should be so tender with them. They bruise easy. They die quickly. They get excited. You just raise your voice at one of these little fellas and it just gets nervous and tore all to pieces. Isn't it right? But let's be gentle. Gentle. We want to dedicate the baby. I appreciate Scotty. And I appreciate his wife. She tries to be faithful and stay right here at Little Bethlehem. And I appreciate them. I really do, from the bottom of my heart. Now, can you get your wife up here with you, Scotty? Can you catch a picture? I tell you what, let her come on this side. Let's see, Scotty. Can you stand her? Let her stand right here. Now, can you get a picture like this? I want some pictures of this because this has to do with a great thing. And I want to be sure that Mitch has some for the Harvest of Harold. Now, isn't it something? Here's a little child born. But as I live and breathe before God, I tell the truth and lie not. My conscience bearing me witness in the heavenly spirit, the Holy Ghost, that God is in the midst of you this morning and something great is taking place. Something great is taking place. You notice how that the sister in the balcony this morning, how that the first thing that she said is praise him, praise him. That had to do with something. I thought sure it would come forth this morning in the broken spirit, because Anna, is Sister Anna on the left here? Anna, when the child was to be dedicated, there was something to take place. And this little child represents that Christ, which is you and you and you. that is being born. I had some men to come back the other day after all of the harshness, criticism of different ones that come against me and fault finding. And in spite of all of that, they came to me and they said, Brother Pye, said, we want to reaffirm our stand with you in God. That's normal. When one's born, it does that. Yeah. So they stood and said, we want to reaffirm our stand with you. All right, now, I want to pray. Can we bow our heads together? Father, Lord of heaven, most gracious heavenly Father, Lord, at this sacred event, Lord, of dedicating a little one, and especially in that it has such a great significance, Holy Father, I dedicate this little baby, Christopher Eric. Lord, Eric Christopher, I dedicate this little baby to you, Father. Lord, in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus Christ, representing it, dear God, as that that discovered a new world. Father, we've discovered a new world. Lord, according to scientists, in just a little while, this old world's going to pass away. Just a few years to denote a tribulation period. Lord, it will pass away. But Brother Branham, Lord, ending the church ages, bringing things to a close, we see now a new world, a new earth. Heavenly Father. And we see the city of New Jerusalem descending from heaven, the lively stones built up into a holy priesthood, a habitation for God who is the Spirit, the tabernacle of God among men, that he might dwell with his people, to wipe away all tears from their eyes, to lead them to the fountains of living waters. Holy Father, this little child, they have given it to thee. O Lord, you gave it unto them, and they give it back unto thee. Lord, may you bless it. Feed it when it's hungry. Clothe it when it's in need and destitute. Oh, dear God, make its enemies to be thine enemies. And Lord, when its enemies come against it, let them not prevail, but be confounded. Bring it up in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord. Father, teach these parents, guide their hands, supply all of their needs, physically, spiritually, financially, Lord. And the little child, oh, dear God, bless it. Keep it from fears and complex of war. Be with it. Stand beside it all the days of its life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. God bless you, Scotty and wife. Brother Gary said, this is alive. Let me say this right quick, and I'm going to let you go. You know, in the world, in the church world being a mother, you watch what Brother Pike's telling you, they'll go into the wilderness. Billy Graham and Old Roberts has to do with those two wings of the great eagle that was to carry them into the Confederation of Charismatic Order. You follow me? Now, I want you to listen for just a minute. And we're going to let you go. Today has a great spiritual significance. With Brother Ed and him being here. And things happening after the fashion and order that it has. From this day on, we're going to begin to see some things that's really going to shake us up. Now you watch. You remember when I spoke about the change in the government? I spoke about the change in the heavens. I said there'll be a complete change in the elements, the galaxies. It's been doing that ever since, leading right on up. And now they come out with that 82 thing. Such a tremendous change. But we need to watch, Jesus said, and we need to pray, because we're coming to the close of a long, dreary pilgrimage. And the day of the Lord is at hand. Paul said it is a dreadful day. It is a terrible day. It is a day of darkness to his enemies. But to us, great light has sprang up to them. To them that sit in the regions and shadow of death, Great light, the prophet said, has sprung up to them. So there is a great light, and the church has gone into the wilderness because there has been a birth of a man-child. But the man-child won't go into the wilderness. It'll go into the revelation, caught up to the throne of God. That has to do with Alaska in its type. Everything must be in its type if God has to reach clear around the entire world to do it. You know how he's done it so far, even to the land of the midnight sun. And like Brother Gary said, this is alive. The church world learns and learns and learns. It's just a lot of knowledge. Much study causes weariness of the flesh. A lot of them have done Brother Branham's books that way. But you are receiving the spirit of revelation that talks to you every day, every hour, out of everything. And what I'm trying to tell you is that this is not a lot of knowledge to make you tired and weary. Not a lot of pressure. It's the inspiration from faith to faith, glory to glory, that's transformating your mind, translating your spirit, and transfiguring your body into the fullness of God. From glory to glory. On to the last trump. So it's not a lot of knowledge. When you see these things and hear these things and understand these things, it doesn't mean that you've grown in a lot of knowledge, though we grow in the grace and knowledge of God. But it don't mean you've grown in a lot of knowledge. But it means, and you just catalog that and you just another book on the shelf. It means that it hath been revealed to you, perspectively speaking, time-wise and season-wise, exactly where God, the Holy Spirit, is moving step by step as you walk along with him. That's how close it is to the time of the curtains coming down on the last act, as we say. It's revealed to you just exactly what's in that day, the present day truth. Right then and there. That's what's happening right then in the spirit, is what you saw in the natural. Now, can you fathom what I'm saying? Now, you saw that in the natural about the dedication. Didn't you see that? But now, what happened in the spirit? Somebody said, was to happen yesterday, is to happen tomorrow, or sometimes I know it'll come about. No, that's not what I'm saying. It happened. It happened. It happened. In the spirit, it took place. Now, that means that the body of the Lord Jesus, the Son that's to rule with a rod of iron, is on the scene. It happened. Somebody said, but that was a little baby. But the Bible said, as a baby, he ruled like a man child. Isn't that right? All right. So then that means he's in the earth. Now, what does that have to do with a little Bethlehem? It has a lot to do with a little Bethlehem, believe it or not. The house of bread, when he was born in a manger. But he was born in Bethlehem. Out of thee shall come forth a governor. The government shall be upon his shoulders. Is that right? That's why we're in the city of seven governors living on a baby farm at little Bethlehem. Such as it was called that. And I tell you again, when this first came, it came, Brother Ernie pulled the truck. I said I wasn't going to get into another stream. I said this right quick. Brother Ernie pulled the truck up to the corner of manger and star over here in Bethlehem. You understand what I'm saying? Natural Bethlehem. Manger and star. This is spiritual Bethlehem. You understand what I'm saying? Manger and star. Right where we had our mailing address for a while. At the little post office, and right at the place where they have the nativity scene, right there, every year of the birth of Christ, they have it right there. Why did he pull my truck up there? Because he was coming out of the Arizona desert. I spoke of it in his little paper, church and the capstone having to do with Brother Branham, coming over to that point, and then the revelation taking over. That's why Brother Ernie holds to the side of Brother Branham like he does, but his heart is with us. Now you follow me? That's how this got out here, just a thought or two there. So then something has taken place. Something has taken place. They saw his star in the east. Isn't that right? We're in the east. Isn't that right? They'll come. Let's sing that little song, can we? The wise men saw his star in the east. That's what they've been playing on our program. The three wise men that came from afar. Let's sing this chorus together, can we? They came from the east and the west. Can you sing with me? They'll come from the lands of fire to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, aglow with his light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. You see, we're right here. The message has gone into about 23 to 25 different languages. Growing bigger all the time. Radio and television literature is growing bigger. Just to show our little part here at Bethlehem and what it has to do in swallowing up the world. For the little stone was hewn out of the mountain, having to do with Stone Mountain. We flew over it the other day when Harold was here to show the what it had to do with the headstone. Those heads have been carved on it. Don't forget that the gates down here at Panama Canal, they're made out of the rock from Stone Mountain. And over here in Washington, some of it is made out of the stone from Stone Mountain. In the other places, and it's the biggest stone in the Western Hemisphere. Let's sing that one more time, and I'm going to let you go. Don't forget tonight, let's come loving the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and realizing that we are a new people, a new creature in Christ. Behold, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. In the fullness of time, God sent forth the dedication of Christopher. He sent forth his son. In the fullness of time. That's where we get confounded. Born of a woman. That's what confounds us. Born of a woman. Made under the law. Just like anybody else. Let's sing that again. Can we? They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands afar. To feast with the king, to dine at